The Local Government News Roundup is proudly supported by Davidson. For 30 years, Davidson has been strengthening the local government sector by identifying and providing the people, expertise and experience that local government needs to enhance its capability, productivity and performance. Davidson is nationally recognised for its executive recruitment services and over the past 4 years has built a business advisory practice rapidly evolving into one of the nation's foremost and trusted local government business consultancy firms. The Davidson methodology and approach is simple. Thinking beyond now and aiming to be a valued partner with your local government, not just for the immediate project, but for the next 30 years. Speak to Justin Hanney or Seamus Scanlon to find out more, or head to davidsonwp.com.au. Davidson, your future, your partner. Coming up on the Local Government News Roundup, Ballarat councillors vote down a contentious policy on formal positions, tensions arise between heritage preservation and housing needs, traditional owners upset at a council's changed position on 26th of January events, the New South Wales Local Government Minister orders an investigation into Liverpool Council, Armidale Council calls a halt to the New England Rail Trail, the threat to New Zealand's international reputation from a fast-track approvals plan, and opposition builds against a proposed bill in Canada described as a threat to local democracy. Just some of the local government stories getting our attention today. Let's round them up. Hello there, I'm Chris Eddy. This is the Local Government News Roundup for Monday, the 29th of April, 2024. Brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service, and from Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Firstly, our roundup of stories from local government across Victoria and an update on a story we told you about last week. Ballarat councillors have rejected a policy on formal positions, with some arguing it was undemocratic. The policy proposed that the council not take a formal position or undertake advocacy on matters such as those subject to a state or federal government referendum, international in nature, those over which the council has no legislated authority, or were considered too remote from the circumstances of local residents. The Ballarat Courier reported on the debate at last week's meeting, where the council voted 5-4 to not adopt the policy that had been prepared following an earlier debate. The draft policy was based on a similar document from Mount Alexander Shire Council, believed to be one of the only policies of its kind in the sector. Moira Shire Council and the panel of administrators have expressed their condolences for the tragic death of Emma Bates in Cobram last week, emphasising the importance of addressing gender-based violence. Chair John Tanner AM said all women deserve to feel safe, and he's urged community members to utilise available resources like 1800 Respect, The Orange Door and Safe Steps. Mr Tanner said the council will continue to work with other agencies and levels of government on interventions and programs targeted at reducing family violence. Tensions have risen between heritage provision and housing needs in Melbourne, with a disused Thornbury Church at the centre. The Uniting Church of Australia, which owns the property, had applied to demolish the church for development after its congregation dwindled. However, Darabin Council has voted to apply an urgent heritage overlay, preserving the church. As reported by The Age, critics say the decision is an example of heritage being used to prevent new homes from being built, while the council emphasises the importance of considering heritage values in the development process. Greater Shepparton City Council has decided on changes for the 26th of January next year and beyond. These include alterations to the Community Celebration Grants Program, the creation of a Shepparton Australia Day Committee, and continued advocacy for a change of date. The council will fund community celebrations from the 24th to the 29th of January, and the newly established committee will organise an Australia Day event from 2025. The council will continue to support the Survival Day Dawn Ceremony, and lower Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flags to half-mast on the 26th of January. The Shepparton News has reported that the shift in the Council's position on Australia Day has left members of the First Nations community feeling hurt, ignored and disrespected. The Moondog Wild West Brew Pub in Footscray has finally opened after a delay due to a misunderstanding about fire hydrant regulations. It was reported that Moondog initially misunderstood paperwork requirements necessary prior to opening and incorrectly accused Maribyrnong City Council as being responsible for the call. DrinksTrade.com reported that Moondog has subsequently acknowledged its misunderstanding and has worked with the council, fire engineers and its building surveyor to resolve all pending issues prior to the launch. The venue spans over 1,000 square metres, has over 100 beer taps and can accommodate up to 800 patrons. Moondog is also planning to open two more venues this year. Brimbank Council is urging the federal government to consider the health and well-being of communities affected by aircraft noise. The Star Weekly reported that the council has criticised Melbourne Airport's 2022 draft master plan for not adequately considering health implications for Brimbank residents or providing effective noise reduction strategies. The council's recommendations include a review of the aircraft noise system, requiring airports to prepare health impact assessments for runway development, and implementing measures such as a federally funded noise insulation program and a noise curfew. And The Age has published a report looking at how the Teal candidate movement is setting its sights on council elections later this year, particularly in Borondara and Whitehorse. Teal candidates who advocate for climate action and integrity in Parliament gained prominence in the last federal election. Voices of Kooyong, a key lobby group, plans to back community independents committed to climate action, evidence-based policy, progressive social values and community representation. More independents focusing on climate and government transparency are expected to run in the upcoming elections. Briefly in other Victorian news, Bendigo Airport's new terminal and business park, a $12 million joint initiative between state and federal government and Greater Bendigo Council, has officially opened, providing an economic boost to the region. The terminal is four times larger than its predecessor, with new check-in facilities, departure lounge, upgraded restrooms and provisions for future security screening. South Gippsland Shire Council has approved a motion for the MAV State Council meeting next month, calling for updated coastal hazard mapping across Victoria by 2025 and for the data to be implemented into all affected planning schemes. The South Gippsland Sentinel Times reported that the council is also urging the state government to fund consultations with affected communities to raise awareness of coastal hazard risks. And a near-miss incident involving an SUV and a crossing guard has prompted a reminder to motorists from Horsham Rural City Council to respect school crossings and speed limits. The driver of a large SUV had not noticed the crossing was in use, causing the crossing guard to put themselves between the car and a child to catch the driver's attention. The council said it was a needless risk that can be prevented by being vigilant in school zones and following the rules. You're listening to The Roundup for the 29th of April 2024. It's episode number 329, brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, which has a series of workshops coming up designed to increase understanding of the local government sector, the work of councils and the role of a councillor. Two workshops next month on standing for local government and local women leading change are available now for registration. You can check out the details at the VLGA's website. Support for the podcast also comes from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service, and from Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Now for some stories of interest from around Australia in local government, starting with New South Wales. The Minister for Local Government, Ron Honig, has requested an investigation into Liverpool City Council due to concerns about operational dysfunction and staff matters. The investigation will be conducted by the Office of Local Government. The results will be made available to the Minister and to the Council. The investigation follows days of drama that culminated last week with the suspension of CEO John Ajay Straka pending an investigation. The questioning of Mayor Ned Mannoon's competence by some councillors and concerns about the council's management raised in State Parliament by MP Nathan Haggerty. Police were called to the meeting of the council at which Mr. Ajaka was suspended when attendees allegedly made offensive, racist and religious chants, according to reporting from the Daily Telegraph. A separate investigation will look into those events. An update for you on a story we brought you last week about the hotel split between two municipalities in Sydney. The Hills Shire Council has proposed a minor boundary adjustment to keep homes and businesses, including the Winston Hotel, within its jurisdiction. The proposal is counter to the Sydney of Parramatta's attempt to move the properties south of the border to be within its boundary. The proposal, which was unanimously approved by the council, involves a boundary adjustment down the centre of Caroline Chisholm Drive. It's understood the Office of Local Government is reviewing the boundary proposals. A contentious debate at last week's Armidale Regional Council meeting has led to a delay in construction of a section of the New England Rail Trail. The Northern Daily Leader reported that the council rejected an officer recommendation to start the project with a $5.4 million federal grant, calling for further reports on maintenance costs and the potential use of the funds for other community projects. The rail trail, first proposed in 2000, is expected to attract significant tourism and generate economic growth. However, opposition from community groups and concerns about prioritising other capital works have led to the delay. The CEO of Snowy Monaro Regional Council, David Hogan, has warned of a worsening financial position if spending and service delivery aren't better prioritised. He says the council faces a multi-million dollar operating cash shortfall for the next financial year and is overcommitted beyond its resources. Mr. Hogan has emphasised the need for community involvement in funding decisions to avoid administration intervention. In Queensland, Cairns property owners profiting from the Airbnb market may soon face additional council rates, according to the deputy mayor there. The Cairns Post reported that the move follows revelations of numerous unauthorised Airbnbs operating in a residential apartment complex. Despite current zoning permissions, the council does not actively monitor Airbnb operations. The Cairns Regional Council is considering increased regulations and fees for Airbnb in the next planning scheme, aiming to level the playing field with hotels and resorts. The final report of an investigation into the operations of the suspended Barkly Regional Council in the Northern Territory has been presented to Local Government Minister Chancey Petch. The council was placed under administration due to concerns over its conduct, fiscal management and service delivery. The councillors and those named in the report will receive a briefing and have the opportunity to respond to the findings before the minister decides whether to reinstate or dismiss the council. The NT News has more on that story. Joondalup Mayor Albert Jacob has questioned the decision to rename the Joondalup line to the Yanchep line, suggesting it should be renamed to the Joondalup-Yanchep line. Perth Now has reported that the renaming coincides with the announcement of the opening date of the Yanchep rail extension. The Metronet project, which includes stations at Alkimos, Eglinton and Yanchep, will begin regular train services from the 15th of July. The project's cost has more than doubled from the initial budget of $531 million to $1.08 billion due to escalating construction costs and environmental requirements. Still in WA, and the Town of Victoria Park Council has opposed a $26.7 million development in Carlisle, citing poor design and potential strain on public infrastructure. The proposed development would include a 16-storey tower and 85 dwellings near the Oates Street station. Perth Now has reported that the council had concerns about the development's impact on the area's character and the financial burden it could place on the town. The application will now be considered by the State Development Assessment Unit. More news in brief, and Queensland Central Highlands Regional Council is beginning its search for a new CEO. The council will engage an external agency for assistance and appoint a panel to oversee the process. Ross Higgins will continue to act in the role in the interim. Penrith City Council has sold a 16.29 hectare industrial land parcel in Emu Plains to Acura and its capital partners. The site is intended for an industrial subdivision to boost local employment and attract investment. The sale proceeds will be reinvested into community services and projects. And Rockhampton Regional Council has launched a local housing action plan to drive change in the housing sector. The plan, developed in partnership with LGAQ, outlines 27 actions to address housing barriers and shortfalls. Key measures include targets for social and private housing development, improved communication between government and stakeholders, innovative housing solutions, and the provision of council land for new social housing. Just ahead on the roundup, a bumper edition of our Global Spotlight for today. Subscribers to the Local Government News Roundup have had access to a special episode of Roundup Unfiltered for the last week. It's my interview with Kelly Grigsby, the recently appointed Chief Executive Officer of the Municipal Association of Victoria. That episode will become available for all listeners from tomorrow. But keep an eye out and an ear out for some more subscriber exclusive interviews coming your way very soon from the Local Government News Roundup. Heading our global spotlight today, we take a close look at an issue causing quite some consternation in New Zealand. An international NGO, Transparency International, has warned that a planned fast-tracking consent bill could damage New Zealand's international reputation. The bill, if passed, would allow three ministers to approve or reject significant projects. It's been criticised for potential corruption risks and concerns that ministers would be both gatekeepers and decision-makers for fast-track referrals. Transparency International is especially concerned about the conflict of roles that ministers would have. The New Zealand government says the bill aims to expedite project approvals and reduce costs, but it bypasses the usual resource consent process and allows ministers to disregard expert advice. Leading independent conservation organisation Forest and Bird says the bill is an unprecedented attack on nature, giving ministers full power to override environmental laws and democratic processes. It has demanded an extension to submissions to the bill and has succeeded in asking the Ombudsman to investigate a lack of transparency over who is lobbying to have their projects fast-tracked. Greenpeace has also made a submission strongly opposing the bill. It says it's anti-democratic, anti-transparency, and creates vulnerability to corruption. In its view, it not only lacks environmental protections, but removes existing protections. A host of other organisations and individuals are lining up in opposition to the bill for similar reasons, including the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, the Sustainable Business Network, and Safe for Animals. But not everyone is opposing the bill. Peak body Local Government New Zealand has made a joint submission with the Local Government Professionals Group, acknowledging the need for a fast-track tool but seeking improvements. It wants to see it better aligned with local government planning instruments and processes and says the specified timeframes for local government input on approved projects is too short. It recommends that the Minister for Environment be one of the joint ministers under the new process. The joint ministers mentioned in the bill are the Ministers for Transport, Infrastructure and Regional Development. And the West Coast Regional Council has welcomed the bill and believes the proposed fast-track approvals process could be used for West Coast road and mining projects and a previously rejected hydroelectricity scheme. It says the bill includes environmental protections and will lead to more jobs in its region, according to a report from Radio New Zealand. The fast-track approvals bill is currently before the Parliament's Environment Select Committee, which is due to report in early September. Let's head to the UK, where Fife Council in Scotland has been fined £100,000 for breaching health and safety rules following the choking death of a vulnerable man. Brian Miller was given food outside his regulated diet by a carer in 2020, according to a report from BBC News. The Health and Safety Executive investigation revealed that the meal should have been prepared to be soft and bite-sized, and carers failed to supervise Mr. Miller while eating. The council also has to pay a compensation order of £50,000 to Mr. Miller's family. Birmingham City Council members have rejected a proposal to build a 42-storey skyscraper on top of a Grade 2 listed former hospital. The plan involved constructing a glass tower with over 300 flats, a cafe and a roof terrace. Localgov.co.uk reported that councillors were critical of the proposal, describing it as utterly bonkers and ridiculous. They've expressed support for regenerating the site, but not in the way that has been proposed. Now to another contentious piece of legislation, this time in Canada. Edmonton Mayor Amarjeet Sohi is among the critics to have voiced their opposition to Alberta's proposed Bill 20, introduced to the legislature last week, describing it as an attack on local democracy, according to CBC News. The bill would allow the Alberta Cabinet to dismiss municipal councillors and repeal council-passed bylaws. It would also permit the creation of municipal political parties, a move opposed by 70% of respondents in two surveys. AB Munis, which represents more than 260 municipalities in Alberta, said the introduction of civic political parties goes against the wishes of most Albertans. Calgary Mayor Gioti Gondek has questioned how the government would define public interest when removing a municipal mayor or councillor from office, and the NDP opposition says it's inappropriate for the provincial cabinet to decide when to fire a councillor or mayor, and that the bill could influence councillors' decisions to align with the province's views to avoid losing their jobs. But Municipal Affairs Minister Rick McIver said it's important for Cabinet to have the power to dismiss councillors and repeal bylaws, but that the provision would rarely be used. Here are some global news briefs for you. A Conservative councillor at Oxford in England has resigned after being found guilty of three counts of tax fraud. Colin Dingwall was ordered to pay a fine and court costs, and despite being dropped as a candidate in the upcoming local elections, he was not suspended from the party until after the verdict. The Oxford Mail reported that the delay in his resignation has attracted criticism from opposition parties. Recall petitions against the mayor and two councillors at Canada's High Prairie Council have failed, as no completed petitions were submitted by the deadline. This means the officials will continue in their roles unless other removal methods are pursued. It's the third unsuccessful or unnecessary recall petition in the last month, according to cross-border interviews with Chris Brown. New Zealand's Nelson City Council has decided to turn off comments on information-only posts on its Facebook page after a surge in online abuse. It follows the posting of a photo by a community member mocking council workers, leading to a wave of unfair criticism and misinformation. And an unusual attraction known as the Chicago Rat Hole, an imprint of a rat pressed into a concrete sidewalk, has been removed by city construction crews. Fox News reported that the rat hole became a social media phenomenon, attracting visitors who left candles, stuffed animals, and shrines. Finally today, while in the US, the city of Baltimore is arguing in court that Grace Ocean Private Limited, the parent company of the container ship Dali, should be held liable for the ship's collision with the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which resulted in the death of six construction workers and significant damage to the bridge. The city claims the ship was in unseaworthy conditions when it set sail, according to ABC News. Grace Ocean Private Limited previously filed a lawsuit denying responsibility and seeking to limit the total payout to $43.7 million, a fraction of the estimated billions in cleanup and rebuild costs. You might think your council has problems. Spare a thought for the folks at the City of Baltimore at the moment. That's all I have for you today on the Local Government News Roundup. This is the edition for the 29th of April, 2024. It's episode number 329, brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson and from Ventia. You can find the links to the stories I've referenced in the episode today and a full transcript at lgnewsroundup.com. That's where you can also find out how to become a subscriber to support the Roundup through a small monthly contribution, which you can cancel at any time. The Local Government News Roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'll be back with more local government news soon. Until next time, thanks for listening and bye for now. I'm delighted to welcome a new supporting sponsor to the Local Government News Roundup family. It's Ventia, a leading essential infrastructure services provider, redefining service excellence for communities across Australia and New Zealand. Ventia is operating at over 400 sites and with a large and diverse workforce of over 35,000. They specialise in the long-term operation, maintenance and management of critical public and private assets and infrastructure across a broad range of industry segments, including defence and social infrastructure, infrastructure services, telecommunications and transport. For local government, Ventia specialises in the end-to-end delivery of open space management, soft and hard facilities management, street cleansing, minor capital works and much more. Ventia brings capability in whole-of-life asset management and robust use of data for better decision-making for their clients. Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Head to ventia.com to find out more.